For what?
To hit the... Are you going to hit the intro button?
The intro button? Do you want me to hit the intro button?
It goes... do, 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 do.
Well, welcome back to Scotch and Splenda, the podcast that tastes like The Office and gets you drunk like Michael when he gives 2 weeks, Angela when she's lost all hope, or Meredith any time of the day.
All right.
Here on Scotch and Splenda, we talk about anything and everything The Office, but most importantly, theories, side stories, and what ifs. We are your co-regional managers, as always. I am AJ.
I'm BJ.
I am Nick.
And on this episode, we're talking all about more than just getting drunk on the clock. It is HR nightmares. And we're not just talking about Toby Flenderson, according to Michael.
Yeah, he is a nightmare, though.
Yes. He's not a good HR rep. And I think everything we're about to talk about really helps define why he's so bad at his job. I don't think he's a bad person. I just think he's bad at his job.
He's a terrible HR rep. He's established that he has very little... like passion for HR, as he talks about, but boy, oh boy, is that evident in his just inability to address any situation, really. I think in any situation with like HR stuff, you've got to sort of pick and choose your battles.
Yeah.
But he just sort of sits there and watches the battles happen.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, this is probably something I can handle. Hey, here's what I'll do today. I'm going to yell at Andy and Dwight about singing Country Roads in the break room. That's the battle I'm going to pick today.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to get upset today. Yeah. That's where I'm going to do something with my time other than sit at this desk.
Well, you have to stop.
You have to stop.
That crinkle of the metal blinds is such a funny sound effect. You have to stop.
There is like a social media movement against Toby for stopping them singing that song because everybody loved it so much.
Oh, it was great.
I agree with him. So I guess we'll get to everything that Toby didn't do anything about for sure here very soon. But first, guys, we always got to give you that quick reminder. If you're here, if you're listening and you're following along with us, go ahead, give us a 5-star review. Just drop that 5 stars right now. You can do it on Spotify now as well, not just Apple Podcasts.
Hey-o.
But you can also write a review on Apple Podcasts, and please drop in a fan theory for us. We love hearing your guys' fan theories. They just tickle us with such delight. So please.
I did not like the phrasing you chose there.
I'm not going to take it back.
Tickle us.
AJ, you're kind of an HR nightmare right now.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm just following a theme, guys. You should try it sometime. All right, well, now you can leave us a voicemail as well. What is that number, Nick? 319-359-7977.
Hey, can we back up? Can you ask me again and we can take out the
Nope.
Okay.
So
hope you got the bleep button ready.
Hope you got the bleep button ready. What did I tell you about this guy? All right, well, let me tell you, like I say, guys, leave us a voicemail. We can't wait to get a few more in, but today we are going to read one for you because this is a good one. I think this came in a little while ago, actually, and I think this is going to be a fun one to cover. It's a fun what if. Who's got that for us?
That's Beej.
I got it.
Nice.
So Derek Bishop sent a message to us on Instagram, and he has a theory for us now. The theory is that when Stanley had his heart attack, he died. And because of all his affairs, he went to hell, which is The Office, because that's the place he hates the most. Facts support this theory because the characters become more annoying and cartoon-like with the introductions like the Lizard King, Robert California, or Joe Bennett with her Dalmatians. It also states that some of the characters represent the seven deadly sins.
So this is almost another Lost tie-in.
I know.
They're in purgatory, right? They're in like sort of the in-between. Spoiler alerts on a 15-year-old show.
Well, thanks, Nick. Yeah. How could you?
Okay, so seven deadly sins. So should we speculate who is who?
Let's do that. That sounds fun.
Okay, go here. Let's read them off. Yeah,
what are the
here
seven?
I got
let's
them.
Start
for
with
us.
One. We'll go down the list. We'll match.
Seven deadly sins. Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Wikipedia is the greatest thing. Literally anyone from anywhere can write about anything that they want. So you know you're getting the best information.
Okay, Wikipedia lists our seven deadly sins as pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, sloth.
All right. Well, there's some obvious ones in there. Let's start at the top. What's the first one?
Pride.
Okay. Who is the prideful? I feel like this is Dwight.
You think so?
I think it is. I you know, it was submitted as this is one he mentioned, and he said Angela.
And
But you know what? Maybe it's more than one to each, you know, sin, and they're kind of a couple, right? They're a team, so maybe they both are that sin.
Yeah. I think later on it could be Ryan for sure, too. He's way too prideful.
New York Ryan
executive is very prideful.
Which of the deadly sins has a drug addiction?
Yeah. Which one is which seven deadly sin is cocaine addiction?
Okay. Who is there anybody else? Do you think we could come to a consensus on each one of these?
Sure.
As we run them down. Who do you guys vote on for pride?
I'd say Angela for pride is pretty good, just because she is so obnoxiously up her own ass most of the time about stuff.
Yeah.
She's very
she does really like being judged.
Asking Pam about their dream wedding. Niagara Falls, pregnant, pork medallions.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I'd
okay. I vote Angela.
Angela, I'm in. We'll do a two. We'll do a two to one. It'll win for sure. So great, Angela.
What's the
pride.
Next one?
Next one.
Greed.
Oh, that one very well could be.
Hey, I got a good one for that.
Okay.
Creed. He loves to steal.
He does love to steal. God. He sells off their computers. He like when he thinks the branch is closing.
Yeah.
Yep. Is it Creed the Greed Bratton?
Creed the Greed Bratton. I think it could be him. if it's not that, then I think it would be. I was gonna go back to Dwight again, but I feel like Dwight could be a lot of these. But if you guys think Creed, that does make sense.
I think Creed is a good pick for that. Like he said, he steals all the time.
He does. He is pretty greedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just love to steal. I stopped caring a long time ago.
All right. What's number three?
Wrath. Yeah. Which we had a submission for this one too, didn't we?
Andy was the submission.
Oh,
with his anger issues.
Which that's going to be hard to beat.
That's true. Very much so.
Or you know what? Roy, although he's not really there long term, but I would also maybe say Roy is Wrath.
Yeah.
I think for the sake of the core group, I'd throw my vote on Andy as well.
I like that.
That's fair.
I like that. What's next?
Envy.
Who is an envious person?
I'd go Michael or I'd go Kelly.
Ooh, I was going to say Kelly.
Kelly's very celebrity, constantly involved in their lives, wants to be just like them.
Oh gosh, that's nail on the head right there. Well done.
Yeah, it's like the I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Perfect. Kelly is envy. Who's next? Yep.
Lust. Can we just give this one on a 1, 2, 3? Meredith. It's Meredith. Say what you will. Angela is the town bicycle. We get it. It's Meredith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I'm not going to fight you on that one.
Gluttony? Kevin.
If Mr.
M&M's himself.
I was going to say, if he takes down M&M's like that, I think that's pretty darn fitting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Hot take on lust. Oscar.
Oh.
Because of the affair with the senator.
I know. Yeah, that's like...
Did Oscar ever...
I know. That's
okay, but did Oscar ever sleep with suppliers for Outback Steakhouse coupons?
Yeah,
I don't know, but I'm sure we're going to cover that in today's HR nightmares.
At least Oscar felt something for that man.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? At least he felt a relationship out of that. You know, rather than
Meredith probably wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for the gift card.
No,
maybe it's a girl thing, but. It just made her feel good about herself.
Yeah, like what Oscar did was wrong, but at the same time, he deep down in that awful situation, he had some honest feelings for him. So,
all right, we'll stick Meredith with lust.
All right,
I mean, have you ever had sirloin steak, honey?
That would do weird things for that too. Anyways,
so Kevin gluttony, and then sloth is your last one. So like laziness.
I think that's Toby.
Yeah, Toby. It's either Toby or it's Stanley, but I think the theory is that Stanley's in hell and he's surrounded by the sins.
Right.
Yeah. So if it can't be Stanley, then it's got to be Toby.
Yeah.
That one also hits me a little bit as Creed, just because he doesn't do anything. He like takes a year off from quality assurance when they're on the work bus in later seasons and they go to pick up the hitchhiker and he's like, thanks, playing a little hooky from work today. He gets on, he's like, oh my God.
He's got his like derby hat on.
He's dressed like a 1950s cartoon of somebody who's like a caller for a circus event.
Yeah, exactly.
He gets on, he's like, oh my God.
Oh my God. How did this happen?
You could also say it's Kevin, but he's already gluttony.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I think
could it be Michael, who doesn't really accomplish anything?
He's such a busybody though. You know what I mean?
Is he though?
Oh, he is. He's absolutely a busybody. Because sloth is laziness, but it like he's a procrastinator. I wouldn't call him a lazy person.
Hey. Well, I don't know, because he gets really into Wolf. I was gonna say Ryan for sloth again,
because
he just messes around all the time and is playing solitaire or pinball or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Toby on this one, man.
Okay,
I think I'm sticking with Toby.
Yep.
All right. Well,
I vote Toby too.
There we go. Like number one, if Stanley did die, it makes perfect sense because he obviously acts like he's in hell and he's got a picture of his daughter there to remind him that, you know, he'll never see her again. Jeez. And was that too deep? Sorry.
Big oof.
I am uncomfortable with the energy we have conjured in the studio today.
But you know, he is. He's basically that's his hell.
Yeah.
And Michael must be the devil. And
you know who Dwight is? He's the manager at the hotel
that's right.
Oh, with the B&B.
With the B&B.
What's his salary?
$80,000
dollars.
Really? So just let me get this straight. In your wildest fantasy, you co-own a hotel with the devil, and you're not the owner. It's like, oh god.
Well, it's like in Dwight's second life where he is assistant regional manager.
Yeah, exactly. second life.
Yeah.
All right. Well. I think that's a pretty fun one.
Yeah.
Just to give you guys that rundown in case you want to know who the people from hell are. Angela, Creed, Andy, Kelly, Meredith, Kevin, and Toby. I think we did a pretty good job rounding that out, actually. It didn't hit like too many of the main, you know, first starting lineup, I suppose. So,
which Toby for sloth is a pretty good call because he doesn't really... do anything.
Yeah.
As we've established. Which is a nice segue into our HR nightmares.
HR nightmares.
Yeah, but before we do that, I am thirsty.
Ooh.
Thirsty boy.
Yeah.
Guess what we got today? We have got a red spot from courtesy of our boy BJ here.
Oh, yeah.
So it is an Irish whiskey, which is very exciting, but it is done in several different finishes. So the label listed as, it is a single pot still Irish whiskey that is matured for over 15 years in a combination of American bourbon casks, Spanish sherry butts, and Sicilian Marsala wine casks, all contributing in rich and complex flavors, making it the top spot in the range.
Top spot in the range.
Top spot.
Okay.
It is the, yeah. And we've discussed, because we did blue, or what did we do?
Yellow spot.
Yellow spot. Yep. That's right. Sorry.
I think that was one that I liked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're going to like this one, too. This one, so this is the four, you know, because there's the green is kind of their lower end, which is still fantastic. And then yellow, which is, you know, what we had. And then there's the blue and then the red. And so I think people argue if the red or if the blue and the yellow, which one's higher. I think, I don't know, you know, I think blue is harder to find, so I would put that one above it. But
okay.
We had a delusional gas station right near my house trying to sell a bottle of Blue Spot for, what was it? I texted you a picture of it. It was like $300.
Yeah, like $349.99.
These schmucks.
Like, get out of town.
Get out of town.
Like, the only thing more expensive in this building is the gas you have outside right
now.
Yeah,
fair enough.
For sure.
Well, cheers there, gentlemen. Thank you for this delightful offering. I do have an ice cube in there. What's that? Let's pop this bottle.
Oop. There it is.
Definitely got a great nose to it. Smells spicier.
Yeah.
Let's give her a sipski.
Like I say, I got a single ice cube in mine I dropped in there.
Let's get that clinky.
Clink, clinky. Come on. Come on.
Mmm.
I think it's delightful.
That is interesting. That is complex.
It
is. A lot going on with that.
There's like a woody flavor in there. I wouldn't even call it oaky, but it's something that hits right at the tip of the tongue, like as soon as you drink it, and then as it kind of dissolves as you swallow, and I can't quite put my
You know what it tastes almost like to me? Because it's like that spicy woody. It's almost like cedar smells.
Yeah
this is interesting because it smells way more than it tastes, if that makes any sense. I get so much smell to it, and then I taste it, I'm like, that's really smooth.
At the risk of sounding like a pretentious asshole, it has a subtle complexity to it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think the wood is, I know you said cedar, but I think it's either Nordic cherry or pine.
Okay.
It's pine.
Definitely.
It's pine.
I'm just really terrible at all this stuff, so.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's got some spice from the sherry.
I am not upset at that at all. I think that's
like
very
that
drinkable, and like I say, I'm an ice cube guy, and I did put that in there. I'm able to drink it pretty much okay. No weird sour face from me.
I like that a lot. Thank you, BJ.
Yeah, thanks,
man.
What's
your rating on that one, Captain Splenda?
Captain Splenda. This is I don't know. I feel like I would be like, I'm going to call this a quarter packet.
Nice.
I think that's a quarter packet. I feel like I could sip that and I'd be just happy with it, you know?
Yeah.
And if I was going to, I would love, like, you know, I think it would be tasty. I'd pour a big old glass of it, maybe a mega pint, and then I would.
Mega pint? Yeah. Then happy hour anytime?
Throw some cubes in there and throw a quarter packet of Splenda.
Quarter packet. Nice.
So
that's great. Thank you, Beach.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right.
Guys,
do it. Let's talk about it. What do you guys got? HR liabilities. I mean, every single episode you can find an HR liability or two, right?
The Scranton branch is an HR liability. Let's be real. Okay. As far as I'm concerned, I would definitely say, like we said before, Toby is just awful at his job. And I feel like he's just overwhelmed at this point. Like, he's so buried in all that paperwork stuff that he does, all those complaints. I don't think he even, how can you care at that point?
Here's what I think is the problem with Toby. Toby, at one point, decided that something was not worth the argument, right? And with all the interactions that I've had with HR, both as an employee and as a as a manager on behalf of the company trying to deal with employee situations, one of the big things that HR likes to lean on is there a precedent set already for XYZ? And I think one of the problems is Toby at some point decided that something was not worth his energy and not worth the fight, and he started to get himself in over his head by allowing things to happen and knowing that if he tried to address it in the future, he would have no leg to stand on.
Yeah. I think...
okay, but there's also instances where it doesn't matter. Like, there's
oh, he's not a terrible. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's not a single judge, jury, or prosecutor that wouldn't convict for some of the shenanigans that goes on.
Yeah, you know, I just think that's how he got to the point of apathy that he's at now, where he's like, well, fuck it. Like, what am I going to do now at this point, I guess?
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, you know, in the normal world. But I would argue that there is not a single character on the show that would not have been fired for something they did throughout the 9 seasons.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Absolutely.
Do I just go through some of them?
What's your first one, BJ? What's a glaring one?
Okay, I'm going to throw a one out that I have a lot of questions about, and I just feel like it never really gets talked about enough. But what's up with Creed pooping in the women's bathroom?
Why does he have to pay for the privilege, and why does he listen to music loudly on headphones while he does it?
I pay for the privilege. He's like, yeah, I've been caught many times and I have paid dearly. So,
I don't know. I don't get it. So he, just by out of context, you assume that he does his other business in the men's room, right?
Yeah.
He chooses that one. Apparently, Aaron is okay with it. Because of the one scene where Gabe follows her in there and then Creed comes out of the stall and he's like, not cool, man. Aaron's just like, hey, Creed. It's just super normal.
It's a norm at this point. You're right. That's very funny, actually. That to some, apparently it has become a norm.
For what it's worth, if he's just somebody who like prefers a clean bathroom, I'm going to level with you. I don't know that I'd want to share that men's bathroom. Between Stanley and Kevin and Dwight with his weird meat and beet diet. I don't have a desire to share that bathroom.
Michael's high protein diet.
You got Toby in there spending 35 minutes reading mystery novels or whatever it is. Like, I'm not into that. I'd pay for the privilege of using the women's restroom.
Yeah, I think he's just at the point of, you know, he stopped caring a long time ago. And that includes this. So I think that's pretty fair. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's like, I don't know. It's pretty bad. It's like, but at the same time, I think I'm almost on board with Creed and his game plan. So,
but yeah, I do think that if a real HR rep caught wind of that, he'd be like, what the fuck did you just say he does?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then you got to set, that's, it goes back to what Nick said earlier, is like, you got to set the precedent is if this is okay, then it's okay for everybody. And we know when Dwight went in there to try to read what was written on the wall by Pam.
Yeah.
Phyllis chases him out and then goes to Michael about him. And that was in the Dundies episode.
Love Phyllis's screaming, you are a pervert. You are a pervert.
Yeah. Like, I wanted to see you naked.
That scene actually went like a lot further in the extended cut on the Superfans episode, Peacock, because like Phyllis actually goes into Michael's office and wants to know, like, demands, what are you going to do about this? And Michael's response is like, oh, I don't know. How about I deal with that while I also write, direct, produce, and star in the Dundies tonight?
Because I think part of your HR problem that you run into there is not, if Creed used the women's bathroom for everything, I think that a case could be made for Creed that could maybe make sense. The problem is he splits his time between both bathrooms.
He only does his number two in the women's.
Yes.
I like to go number two in the women's bathroom. I've been caught many times, and I have paid dearly. Still got his headphones on, yelling at the camera crew. So
yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, there that does lead to, like you said, though, Pam and her writing that thing on the wall. That's another HR thing, though, too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. Sure is. That was a little risque for Pam.
I know
think that was a. Yeah, that was an interesting choice by the writers to have her do that early on, because later seasons, like, it doesn't seem like she would ever do that, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
But all right, what else you guys got?
Nick, what about you?
How about, well, on the subject of Pam, how about Pam and Jim trying to have sex in the office in many different places?
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
That's a big issue.
It's a biggie. It's a biggie.
That's a biggie for them, and then all of a sudden we're perfectly comfortable with it. With, I mean, how many other people had sex in the office?
Well, apparently, Angela, everyone.
Yeah,
everybody.
Everyone.
Everybody.
As has Kevin.
As has Kevin.
She goes to another school.
Holy shit! I do. I know that is pretty weird. And then also the fact that, like, that when they try to go into the closet, Ryan's office, you guys wanted to use.
You guys are looking for me? Yeah, we wanted to ask you about something. Yes. No, you didn't.
You wanted to have sex in my office.
You guys wanted to have sex in my office.
Okay.
No, it's cool. Just put everything back the way you found it, and text me when you're done.
Text me when you're done.
I love. Pam is like,
that was so embarrassing. I want to die.
Jim's like, yeah, that was really rough.
Oh no.
Or if we're on the subject of Pam slapping the bejesus out of Michael for dating. Yeah.
Nope, that was off company property.
They're in the parking lot.
Yeah, I think it's. You know, Toby cleared it, man. He said, well, as long as it wasn't inside the building.
Because,
you know,
Toby is a shiny example of pristine HR.
Yeah. Well, he did help with, you know, showing her the proper punch, you know. Because it comes from,
I love that scene.
It's a twist.
Yeah.
It comes from the back leg. It's a twist.
They have established that the parking lot is company property. Because when Michael calls to inform Ryan about running Meredith over with this, or hitting Meredith with his car. He goes, did this happen on company property? Yes. And in fact, it was with my
car. With company
property.
So
it was with company property.
Yes. So, yeah.
Double jeopardy. We're fine.
I don't think you know what double jeopardy means.
Sorry. What is we are fine?
What is we are fine?
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good. There is a scene. Speaking of intercourse in the office, how many other people that we know of?
Yeah.
I am going to go to, I'm going to toss it back over to the annex though. Right next to Toby, under his nose for the most part, is Kelly and Ryan, at any random time. Hey guys, you want to see pictures from Costa Rica? Just hardcore making out. And I don't know, it's pretty rough. And the deleted scenes too, or the extended cuts, super fan episodes, we do during the Christmas episode get the implication that they are in the dumpster together searching for Ryan's present, but then end up having sex in the dumpster.
Yes, we talked about that in a previous episode.
Yeah,
and I saw that episode again. The first time I saw that, the extended one, and that was happening, my jaw dropped. I was like,
"It was
shocking."
I
cannot believe.
Because and I think we had talked about this before. I think that, you know, a lot of the deleted stuff in the Superfan episodes is pretty risque.
Yeah,
in that regard, and I feel like they cut it out. Like, I think it was a smart choice to cut it out because. I think it would have diverted too much from, like, what you actually care about. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, let's just throw in some, like, random sexual escapades. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't add any frosting to this cake at all. So,
But now it's perfect because everyone's seen the original a million times, and then we as super fans get to go back and like it's like watching it for the first time. I love it.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, so those super fan episodes, they could make each one of them an hour long.
I know.
And I would be 100% in.
I'd be
in on it.
Yeah.
So while we're in the annex, not necessarily same time frame, but you get Gabe Lewis.
Yeah.
In the annex.
Yeah.
I mean the Scranton Strangler, Gabe Lewis. Okay, sorry, continue.
HR issues with Gabe Lewis, showing a horrifying horror video during Halloween episode.
Yeah.
The biggest one to me is probably when Gabe is part of the search committee and they're doing the interview for Andy and you get the shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun!
He's so mad.
I had to lean way back from the mic. I don't know where that landed for balance.
There's not too much I would necessarily say about Gabe. I'd say maybe some of the things that happened to Gabe are probably, you know, worthwhile for HR.
Yeah.
You know, commuting one-way flights every single day might be one of those things. I feel he could report. But
that might be one of the biggest underrated Gabe like jokes of the series. Like, do people even realize when he's like, I'm 3 days a week in Scranton, 2 days a week in Tallahassee. They're every other day. Like,
yep.
Flies back and forth every day.
What a great way to combat his
it's so
paralyzing
funny.
Fear of flying.
Yeah.
Yeah. AJ, what do you got? You got one?
I have one that's actually pretty big. I'm gonna take it back to Kelly.
Okay.
And Kelly is such an odd duck, but the one thing that she did that is like, whoa, she should totally be fired for this, is when she falsified Dwight and Jim's like customer reviews.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Real
dude.
Bad.
Like if you really think about that, I know it was kind of like it was like a side story thing,
yeah.
You know, for the episode. But
B story.
But they're absolutely right. Like those things affect their bonus,
yep.
Like their future at that
there's
company.
There's a monetary impact to them with that.
Yeah, 100%.
You guys both work in an industry or have worked in an industry that have incentives and commissions and everything else. If you or any of your coworkers falsified numbers to get a bigger bonus or commission, how fast would you be fired?
Oh, they're fired immediately.
It would be immediate.
Yep.
Like
commissions,
immediately.
Commissions fraud, instant fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's
and
a
so zero
why wouldn't
tolerance
it go
into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why wouldn't going the other way be the same thing?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And like her doing that to coworkers for like maliciously for simply not showing up to her party. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Like
not even like a birthday party or something important. It's the America's Got Talent viewing party.
Yeah.
Like
I love Ryan and Jim's exchange during that where he's like, "No, you were there.
No,
I remember."
There. I remember. He's like, "I wasn't, but thank you."
Yeah,
Ryan's level of confidence. I'm like, you were there. I remember.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It's like I played the game, Jim. I played it long.
I
played
Jim,
it hard. You want to know what else I learned in New York?
Keeps.
Played it for keeps.
Yeah. Jim is the master at slipping out of parties early.
It's
and,
true.
And having proof, or at least he says he is until he gets trapped by Robert California.
Yep. 100%.
But on New Year's.
Well.
He was home by... Nine?
Nine?
Is that what
it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to brag, but New Year's Eve, I was home by nine.
I was home by nine. Jim, you're boring. Okay. get out there and have some fun, man. Come on.
Do either of you have one for Jim right off the bat? There's about 1,000.
I was going to say, any. we did a whole prank episode, so we don't need to go too heavy in those. But yeah, any prank that was too further than putting someone's stapler in Jell-O is fireable. That's an HR nightmare.
I'll stick on our current theme of commissions fraud. him and Dwight coming up with a fake salesman to defraud the company for thousands of dollars worth of commission once they've hit their cap.
That's a good one.
Where the New York guy comes down.
Boy, they gave that information up real quick to the crew.
Yeah.
The camera crew.
Who's Lloyd Gross? Isn't that his name?
Yeah.
they say it's Toby. he calls him Kemosabe. He tries to like mean mug him and tough guy him in the conference room.
Lloyd Gross. I'm wondering if there's anything else behind that other than gross sales with like Lloyd. I don't know.
Should I come up with an anagram?
Please.
No.
That would be great.
No.
And we're gonna wait in silence while you think of it. But yeah, that is a big one. That is a major one. He's gonna come back.
I'll bet you $100 the end of that anagram is him at the end going, and the two S's is shh, because it's a secret.
Thanks. I hate it.
That's a big one for me. Where I was like, man, there's been some shenanigans, but like. Ooh, that's kind of a big one. They would definitely be fired and probably face legal ramifications for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. How about also Pam just making up her own position and creating her own salary and then stonewalling Gabe into agreeing.
Gabe, the human doormat, Gabe Lewis.
Yeah. The tallest, longest doormat.
It's true though. Like that, I'll be honest with you. That is maybe one of my favorite conference room conversations that happens. Though it's like Pam, I don't want to point any fingers. I don't want to say somebody did or didn't do anything. I just want you to admit it.
Say it. Say that I'm lying.
Say it.
Or give me the job.
I don't want to say that. I just want you to admit that.
So he's just like nodding. And he's like, just like, and like he's doing like the eye squint, like the come on.
Say I have the job. Okay, so if you need anything, then you let me know.
That an office administrator can handle.
You just let me know. Can I actually get one of those
name plates?
Plackets? Name plates.
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you.
He just rolls over.
Oh my God. And just like the way she like for all the talk about Pam being a terrible salesperson, I must say she really worked it out of Oscar really well to get what she needed. She worked it out really well from Gabe what she wanted done.
The quick cut she to her it. Like air humping talking to Meredith and they're just like losing it cracks me up as they're going through the like montage of her convincing the department head.
Yeah, just getting signed off on. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So for her not being a salesperson or not succeeding as a salesperson, she sure sold it to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I love that.
How about Pam and Jim coming back from their Valentine's Day lunch completely shithoused off of bottomless champagne?
Hammered.
Well, dude. They learned early, or Jim at least learned early on that they don't care. Michael doesn't care when... Phyllis takes long lunch.
Takes a longer lunch.
A little tipsy. Yeah. Yep. With Bob.
Michael's afraid of Bob.
So it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. And
it'll take all day because Michael's terrified of Bob.
They come back. They had a whole like bottle of champagne or two bottles of champagne or something for Valentine's Day.
It was bottomless.
Bottomless. Yeah, bottomless. That's right.
We never found that bottom.
I've been to a brunch or two with you, AJ, and I don't think we ever found that bottom.
Yeah, no. I don't think we did.
Can I go off on a real quick side tangent here?
Please.
On bottomless champagne.
Okay.
There is a brunch place here that will go unnamed.
Okay.
That has bottomless mimosas included in your brunch, but not orange juice.
But not bottomless orange juice.
If you order orange juice, you'll be charged like $3.75 a glass.
to be fair, Nicholas, it's a splash of OJ that goes into a mimosa. if it's done properly. A whole glass is certainly more expensive than, you know.
They can suck my butt.
Well, what is this brunch place? It sounds like my ideal brunch spot.
Rhymes with Schmiowa River Power Restaurant.
Oh, okay.
so that we don't get sued for slander.
Yeah.
It rhymes with Schmiowa River Power.
Yeah, it seems that's definitely BJ's place where they definitely prefer you to be drinking rather than not drinking.
Oh yeah, yeah, so,
yeah.
I get that.
Well, if you're gonna do brunch, you got to do it right. Otherwise, you're just having breakfast or you're just having lunch.
I agree.
We having brunch? Are we here to have brunch? I mean, it is a celebration of brunch.
Cedar Ridge has a great brunch. I love all their different mimosa options.
I know
they have their house wine.
Theirs is so good. There's way too many like good options there. I overdo it every time. So,
and you know what is the best nap you've ever had in your entire life?
Post-brunch.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That is a nap.
That is a naptism right there. You wake up born again. That is for sure.
Yep. My first brunch strategy. First plate is always heavy on the meats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Second plate, always all carbs. That's going to be your pancakes, your waffles, your toast, your bagels, your cinnamon rolls, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And then you hit your like fruit or dessert options if you got room for a third plate.
Right.
Because then by the time the carbs catch up with you
and
you're ready to nap, you are home or close to it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. You gotta do it in sections. You gotta go protein, carbs, and then sugars.
Yep.
And then that end is a good spot to get in like your yogurt and oats and things like that.
Yep.
Yeah, get those probiotics going. You know, you gotta get that good bacteria, you know, moving things around in there. So
I am protein, protein, protein. I will put that brunch place out of business because I will eat that entire prime rib and all the crab legs on the table. And you can F right off with your oatmeal. Okay. That is for the week.
It's for
that
the is birds.
Is there a lot of stuff more aggravating at a brunch than when you go up to get a slice of prime rib from the carving station and the guy carves it off like it's coming out of his own paycheck?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's like, guy, you and me both know I'm going to make 4 or 5 trips up here if you keep giving me pieces that size. It's like, well, let's cut the middleman and the bullshit.
Yeah. I don't. Let's have me stop negotiating around the chairs, and I'll spend my time negotiating with you on how much you're going to cut off of that damn thing. It's true, though, man. Oh, it is true. Oh.
What's this episode?
All I want.
Brunch Talk. Yeah. Welcome back to Brunch Talk here in
The Gang Goes to Brunch.
In case there was any doubt that we're a bunch of white millennial men.
Yeah. No.
We just spent the last
There's your confirmation. Well, let's get us back on track here. We'll go back to, I would say, just about, I don't know, there's still so much sex and drinking that happens in this office.
Let me throw one out here, okay?
All right,
Speaking of white men and iPod shuffles, how about when Pam saw Michael's pee-pee in the fun run?
His baguette.
His baguette.
If it was an iPod, it'd be a shuffle.
It'd be a shuffle.
Didn't see where it started, but I saw where it stopped.
Yikes.
That's true. You know,
may I enter the room, please? Yes, or come in.
See how that's done? Is that so hard? It's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is this not a French brothel?
French beach?
Beach, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, dude, changing in the office, come on. Like, it's an open door, and there's so many windows.
Yeah.
So many windows for that office. Come on, man. Yeah,
This segment would make a great TikTok for our TikTok, but that'll get taken down real quick.
Yeah.
Real fast. Like,
yeah, I would agree.
When I put something in one of ours from the, what was it? The sexual harassment episode with the blow up doll. It was just a picture. It was just that quick little clip of Jim and the blow up doll. And I put it up. It was up to 20,000 views in an hour. And TikTok killed it because of the blow up doll. I was like, you can't even like see
cowards.
Any part of the.
Release the blow up doll cut. No. Coward.
I was so mad.
Oh, it's frustrating.
Yeah, gotta keep it PG. That's what we're here to do.
Yeah, that's right. PG, PG. Okay.
Can we keep it like 70s PG, like Jaws PG?
Yeah, even 80s. They could swear in PG in that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we're light cursing and what, man butts? I think those are okay.
We're PG before PG-13 was a thing.
Yeah.
That's what
we
are.
Okay.
That's what I like to keep it at, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, you've got your occasional swear word in there, but you know.
We're 16 candles PG.
It's tasteful.
With the they forgot my fucking birthday.
Yeah. I think we're allowed one F-bomb. Unfortunately, Nick just burned it by explaining how it can be used. So
Nick usually burns our F-bombs for the episode by
no regrets.
Oh no,
do something about it, nerd.
How about a big one how about we just talk exclusively about Diversity Day?
How
did this make it through, like, and we all know, like, the unspeakable scene essentially between Michael and Kelly when she just walks in the room casually to see what's going on. She's been busy all day, and that's the interaction that happens when you're just isn't Stanley's card just black?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just rough, man.
It's a rough scene. That, and we've talked about it in Cringe and Top Cringe, right?
Yeah,
we talked Diversity Day.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough. It does have one of the funnier jokes that I think of in the first season, which is Pam, where she's doing the... Dwight says Asian, and Pam says, if I had to make an assumption based off of stereotypes that are completely incorrect, that I don't agree with, I would say maybe you're not a very good driver. To which Dwight replies...
Oh man, am I a woman? Yeah, it's not good.
It's pretty rough.
It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough, guys.
Everybody in that conference room is fired. Everyone.
Everyone
that has a card on the head.
Angela's got Jamaican. And Kevin's just like, do you want to get high, Mon?
Come on.
No. I think you do, Mon.
Oh no! Oh,
Diversity Day's rough.
What else? Is there any other major episode based ones that you guys can think of?
Like entire episode based ones?
Basically, yeah.
Well, the entire the banker episode where when Sabre buys Saber.
Oh yeah.
Sabre.
Oh yeah. The
and it's
all it consultant.
I mean,
whatever.
Literally all. All it is a clip episode of all the HR liabilities and outstanding sexual and that's like honestly, I probably should have just watched that episode before recording this because it would have been a cheat code to this episode. But
well, it's good that people know we're coming up with this. We're coming up with this stuff without having the cheat codes. Okay, so just know that, guys.
Yeah. Just a bunch of. We are three nerds who have seen The Office so many times that we don't need to study for these episodes.
Yeah, I'm going to level with you. I feel like our level of research that we do in a normal episode, pretty minimal.
It's shocking what we get away with.
It's quick checks on the internet to double check facts that we think we know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then we're just into it.
So, yeah. How about, I think we all know this one. It's one of the greatest introductions to an episode ever, and that is Dwight's fire.
Yes.
Fake fire.
Yeah.
Stress relief.
Maybe one of the greatest moments in network television, I would have to say.
Yep.
Absolutely.
We've talked
brilliant.
About that. We've talked about it a lot. That view or that aired after the Super Bowl.
Right.
And it was required by the studio to have a huge opening scene. To keep people on, to keep people watching the episode.
Yeah.
Right. They freaking nailed it.
Yep. Today, fire is going to save lives.
so, So good.
Lights cigarette, throws it into waste basket.
Yeah. By the way, smoking inside. There's strike one already.
Yeah. So
it's like,
yeah, not off to a great start.
But then this in turn just turns into absolute chaos, and obviously it's not. It's all under stress and duress. However, you have people breaking equipment. You have people damaging the building. You have people raiding the vending machines.
Kevin just goes full looting mode. Yeah. Just chair through the vending machine.
Yeah. It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough, guys.
I will say it did just remind me of an Andy incident, because I was thinking of like post-disaster and people stealing things, etc. And I thought of when they closed down Stanford and Andy just steals Josh's desktop computer.
Yeah, and the chair.
He just goes walking out. Karen's like, is that Josh's computer?
What?
What?
What? Andy Bernard made these tasteful hats. Like those things. Like, I don't know, man. There's just so much. Like I say, I think all of Scranton is just like this major HR liability just gets overshadowed. I like to think that they're just some sort of outlier branch from all of this, even though they say some of the other ones are further away. But I feel like Scranton is just treated like the redheaded stepchild of this. Yeah. Like,
hey, I take offense to that. I am a redheaded stepchild.
Hey, he resembles that comment.
That's an HR liability. I'm going to Toby.
There you go. See, you can never get this
done. He's going to put your complaint in a box and then stash it away like fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Exactly.
So I got a fun way to end this episode, I think.
All right, let's do it.
Everyone throw out their favorite, or not their favorite, but their most HR liability situation that for sure that person could turn around and sue Dunder Mifflin.
Okay, so they can sue Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah, and focus on the victim, because this whole episode we've been focusing on the, you know, the perpetrators. Yeah. Yeah. And so focus on the victim. I will start to give you guys a minute to think.
Okay.
As we discussed, this was not premeditated. So I think the biggest lawsuit would have came from Martin.
Oh.
In the merger.
Prison Mike.
And here's why. He is a reformed convict.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who has a steady job, and he has changed his life, and he was harassed, stereotyped, and forced to quit his job over racism and everything else that happened to him. And he had every right to turn around and sue the absolute crap out of Dunder Mifflin and Michael.
Totally. Oof. Yeah, that's rough. It's hard to watch. Like those moments that are just like, oh my gosh, this is hard to watch. There's no way. I agree with that 100%. Mm.
That's my number one HR liability.
Okay.
Prison Mike.
Prison Mike. HR liability.
I mean, I think that Oscar in Gay Witch Hunt.
Yeah.
Obviously is a big one.
Yep.
It's settled out of court for a significant amount of money, a corporate lease, a significant amount of paid vacation. Like, you know what I mean? Like they knew that was going to be bad enough that they had to make it sort of interesting for him to not do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like that was
that's another good one.
That was rough. Literally sexually assaulted at work.
Yep, 100%. that was a good one.
All right, I think I have one.
Dwight grabbing Jim's dick.
No, but it would be a good one.
If you need to think, just mark this and you.
Yeah,
you
I've got one. I think. So this actually. How about this? This actually did lead to the lawsuit. And it is what caused the deposition, and that's Jan being fired.
Sure.
And although I think she went about it the wrong way, I think that there is probably some validity for her to get some sort of severance or like something out of that suit.
Like a wrongful termination suit.
Yeah, because as we've discussed in previous episodes, David Wallace did not go about that very well at all. Not only was he not quiet about it, but he also was putting out the feelers for a replacement while she still has the job.
Yeah. He's doing full-on interviews in the building,
down the hallway, basically, about this. And although she ended up coming out of it like and going about it in a bit of an erratic way,
yeah,
I still think that she had probably some validity to it. And then also bringing in, based on like bringing Michael into it, you also have Ryan, who pulls him aside and tries to
sway
more or less tamper with a witness, if you will.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Witness intimidation.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, we just want to make sure that your testimony is not going to damage the company.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is maybe one of the biggest ones.
Can I change mine?
Yeah.
Hold on. Do you want to talk more about yours?
Well, I was just going to say, I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry. Oh. 2 seconds.
I want to make sure your testimony is not going to hurt the company.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's good.
Okay.
I think that's good. Yeah, you go ahead.
Can I change mine?
Yes, please.
I'm going to go Hannah Smoltridge Barr.
Hannah Smoltridge Barr.
Yes. Another Stanford person. Because, and Hannah sucks, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's fair to say, Hannah's pretty bitchy. She's sort of short with people. She's not real pleasant to be around. Like, I get it. But Creed literally takes a photo of her naked breast and sets it as his desktop background on his computer.
It's a squid's eye.
What is that, a squid's eye?
It's my left breast.
How did you get that?
Right place, right time.
Dude,
which leads me to believe, you know where I think his right place, right time was? Him using the can in the women's restroom.
Using the women's bathroom.
Think it all comes full
and
circle.
It goes around, comes around.
I think Hannah Smoltridge Barr, which they touch on a little bit, and it's kind of a big deal, and you may have to be deposed. Like, I think she had a hell of a case to sue Dunder Mifflin.
She's got a solid case there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's open and shut. I mean, yeah. Michael didn't make Creed take the screensaver down. She wins.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Or fire Creed for doing it or make any action. They're cleaning house. Michael's gone. Jim's gone. He's assistant.
Yeah.
Toby's way gone. I mean, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably HR
liabilities. Yeah. I'm in on that.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
I'm sure there's more. If there's more that we missed that you feel like is prime content that you're like, how have these idiots not talked about XYZ?
Yeah.
Please put it in a review, put it in the socials, message us on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever.
Yeah. Don't hesitate to reach out to us, guys. And wherever you find us on your social media, make sure you are blasting your theories at us. There's plenty of people out there pushing up their glasses and saying, well, actually. Well, you said this wrong. That's fine. You guys, you're entitled to your opinion. It can be wrong. You're fine. but just because we misspeak in the heat of the moment doesn't mean that we're complete idiots. However, we do appreciate those of you who are joining us on this journey.
And guys, make sure you please join us next week. We have a very special two-part episode where we are going to do some fantasy casting of the main cast and fantasy casting of guest stars we'd like to see. Celebrities we wanted to see on The Office that we never got.
Nice. Yes.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys again for joining us. this week on Scotch and Splenda. Please get at us on social media. You can find us anywhere on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It's at Scotch Splenda.
If you'd prefer to email us, we've got our email, which is scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. It's all spelled out, no ampersand, no plus, any of that. scotchandsplendapodcast@gmail.com. Or call us in, leave us a voicemail. That's probably our favorite. Leave us one of those so that we can play your voice on air. We would love to hear you. The people who listen would love to hear you. And we say it every week. It goes straight to voicemail. You don't have to talk to anybody. And that number is 319-359-7977. 319-359-7977. Leave us that voicemail.
Perfect. Guys, you can find me anywhere on social media. It's AJAYVENS, AJ Vens, anywhere on social media.
And you can find me, BJ, at I Am The Beach. That's Beach, B-E-E-J, on TikTok and Instagram.
You will find me in most places at Nick Morella. That's N-I-C-K-M-E-R-U-L-L-A. Twitch is probably where you'll see me the most, but you can find me if you dig the whiskey stuff, the beer stuff. You'll find me at Morella Nick on Instagram.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much again for joining us. And until next time, we will catch you on the flippity flip.
The flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Goodbye. Bye.